This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. I am a big fan of several shows on HGTV. I think I've shared that with you before. Shows like Flipper Flop, Property Brothers, Love It or List It, right? How many love those shows? I love those shows. And I figured out why I love them so much is that they take something that is kind of wearing down, a handyman special, and they renovate it, and they renew it, they bring it back to life. And always, for the last several years at least, pretty much without fail, the owners in their must-have list want an open concept. You all are familiar with that, right? An open concept living. And so, because they bought these houses that need repair, those homes usually don't have an open concept. So they've got a little kitchen all by itself and a dining room and small rooms and maybe a big wall that faces them when they walk in the front door. And so the photo op, the big video, is somebody with a sledgehammer knocking down the walls. They knock down the walls and they're laughing as they let in the light. As they tear down the drop ceiling, they're laughing because they see the expansion and the opening and the opening. And the before and after, when we get to the end and you see the after shot, sometimes I want to fast forward if I've taped it. It's exciting because we see that they have reclaimed and renewed something that may have been lost. The process to get to that beauty takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of risk on their part. They have to hand over a big chunk of money to the designers, and they have to rely on that designer's wisdom and skill and vision and give it up. At the end, then, they usually say, "I can't believe it's the same house." Because it isn't, and yet it is. It's renewed and invigorated. Renewed and invigorated. When we rely on our designer, our creator, we too are transformed. And it becomes an ongoing transformation. It's not just a one-time shot. We open and open and open and open. This weekend, we are on a similar journey, and every year we are as Halloween rolls around. And Halloween is the day when we let the goblins out, and we're allowed to let the witches fly, and the monsters roam, and then all is revealed when we take off the costumes, when we take off the masks, and we realize, if you follow the history of it and the purpose of it in the church, it's All Hallows Eve. It's the night before a holy day, which is today, November 1st, All Saints Day. And in the tradition of the church too, tomorrow we celebrate All Souls Day. And so this day we are celebrating them all together, all souls and all saints. The communion of saints is what we acknowledge this day. And in the prayer book, this is the definition of what we mean when we say the communion of saints. The whole family of God, living and dead, those whom we love and those we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. And this day, we'll actually say the names that those of you who have submitted those names and photographs, we'll say them when we gather around this table for our family feast every week, the Eucharist, and we will give thanks. And we'll remember in the name of Jesus Christ. We are invited this day to let go of whatever haunts us, to let go of whatever masks we wear, and to lift the veil between this life and the hereafter. And that can be painful, to let down our guard, to let go of what our defenses are. And sometimes we weep, as Jesus wept. In our grief and in our healing, walls come down. We open to the light, even though it's painful. And we are broken open to a new way of being. And Christ calls to us, as he called to Lazarus lying dead in the tomb, come out. Live. Unbind him, he said. Take away that stone. It's that dramatic. Live your life. And this is what Lindsay Murray Caverly is about to do. As we support her and she enters into the sacrament of holy baptism, it's important to have a few words of explanation of what we're about to do. This is no small thing. This is an ancient ritual that we are now being invited to engage in and to understand what's about to happen. Lindsay will come forward in a moment with those who sponsor her, who stand up with her, and she will be asked, get this, the same questions that the followers of Christ were asked since the first century. The Apostles' Creed, in essence, is what we will vow, and that comes from back then, as people showed how they were followers of Christ. The first question, though, that I will ask Lindsay is if she desires to be baptized. It's up to her in that moment, so you can run for it still, Lindsay. To be baptized is to say yes. Yes to a new life. Yes to the presence and activity of God within you. Yes to a personal commitment in your life to follow Jesus Christ. And yes to joining a family of believers that are doing that as well. And there will be times when we feel like we're not following Jesus Christ, that we fall down. And what we vow to do is to get back up and to repent and to come back to Christ when that happens, always knowing that we are forgiven. So there's three questions that I'll be asking about turning away from, it says, Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. And we know Satan, sin, and wickedness is anything that separates us from God's love. She will vow to say no to that, those three questions. And then she will affirm three statements when I ask her questions about embracing God. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? And the I do that she responds is really like a marriage vow. We were talking about this yesterday a little bit. She said that's what it feels like. I hope you don't mind me saying that, because that's exactly what it is. It's a vow that she is taking to be all in. And it's not just spitting out some words. It's making that real commitment of trusting God to guide you in grace and love and to turn always back again and again as many times as we need to when we fall. And just so you have a heads up, all of you have a role to play in this, into her support. We need one another. And so once she answers those questions, I'll be asking all of you, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this woman in her life in Christ? And your answer should be a resounding, we will. And we do that in a million ways. That is sacramental community. And that's why we don't do private baptisms. It's not magic water. The priest's hands aren't some magic incantation. This is a sacrament and a mystery that we all do together. So those of you who are here, you basically have four ways of responding. One is that you can just check out, not really be present at all. That is a choice. The other three, though, and the ones obviously I would encourage you to pick one, is that you can choose to listen deeply and observe. Second, if you have been baptized yourself, you can choose to participate by reaffirming your own vows when we get to that part. Those vows said by your parents for you if you were baptized as a baby, or those that you said yourself if you were baptized as an adult. And if you've never been baptized, you can choose to uphold Lindsay, to pray for her, to love her, and to live your own lives to make this world a more loving and peaceful place by your actions for yourself and one another. It makes a difference. The message here in Holy Baptism is that as children of God, we are blessed, and we are now then to go out and be a blessing. It's like our marching orders now to go out and be that light in the world. And one last thing before we get to the actual baptism. I'll say a prayer toward the end of our ritual, asking that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ may live in the power of his resurrection. And what that means, being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, means that our lives are always one to dying and rising again, and dying and rising again, and relying on a power greater than ourselves to do that in Christ. We will use the order for holy baptism in this book. This is called the Book of Common Prayer. I know we don't use it very much during this service, so I would ask you to turn to page 301. So Lindsay and sponsors and godparents, come forward, please. And if there are any children here and you want to come close to see, feel free to come and just sit down front if you'd like. If you guys can't see, you can come around if you want. So come on up. Come right up. So we are in the middle of page 301. And then you two say the first. We're going to respond here. The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. Lindsay, do you desire to be baptized? Glad you said that. And now in the middle of page 302, and this is for you two to say. And for you, Lindsay, of course. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? And you guys also. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And now down at the bottom, this is your part now. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this person in her life in Christ? Let us join with her who is committing herself to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
Amen.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Let us now pray for this person who is to receive the sacrament of new birth. Deliver her, O Lord, from the way of sin and death. Open her heart to your grace and truth. Fill her with your holy and life-giving spirit. Keep her in the faith and communion of your holy church. Teach her to love others in the power of the Spirit. Send her into the world in witness to your love. Bring her to the fullness of your peace and glory. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt.